So, Graham, as I'm preparing for this show, you know, we love anniversaries here, and we are taping this on March 14th.
20 do you know years. I know where you're going with 20 this. 20
years.
Yep.
WrestleMania 20, buddy. The Garden. A long time ago, buddy. And
that's crazy.
It is. That's where Brock and Goldberg fought for the final time before they came back. Brock came back, what, 8 years later? Goldberg came back, 12 years later? 2016?
Goldberg was gone for 12 years, yeah.
Yeah, Brock was gone for eight.
Yeah.
And then Guerrero becomes champion. I think he remained champion, one of those two. And then, no, I think he remained champion, right? He beat Kurt Angle.
Eddie retained, yeah. And then Benoit won the title, yeah.
In what many regard as the greatest triple threat match of all time.
Mm-hmm. Cena won his first United States championship. There's a lot of matches on that show. We'll talk about it right now. It's not one of my favorite Manias, but it was a fucking long. I think it might be up to that point the longest WrestleMania of all time, because they went back and watched them all in order. Not like every single day, but like over the course of a couple months. And I remember like getting to Mania 20 on the network at that point, rip the network. Mm-hmm. But I'm like, man, this is like a fucking 5 hour show, which I mean, at that point, I wasn't unused to it because WWE, even in 2014 or whenever I watched all these shows, were doing long ass pay-per-views. But back then, yeah. I mean, you were watching back then, I wasn't, so you would know. But that seems like a really long time for a Mania that's one night. And thankfully, those nights are long over. Now it's two nights. But yeah, no, it is definitely a significant show, as we'll get into. But yeah, no, it's quite the card, certainly the jam-packed card.
So before we get into the current stuff, and obviously Mercedes Moné debuted on AEW last night. Great for her. Real quick, again, 20th anniversary of WrestleMania 20. John Cena beat Big Show to become the U.S. champion. John Cena was number one on the card.
Yeah.
Fatal 4-Way for the tag titles. RVD and Booker T against Cade and Jindrak, Dudley Boys, and La Resistance. Okay. Yep. All right. Christian beat Jericho. Then you had Evolution against Rock and Sock, The Rock and a Mick Foley 3-on-2 handicap match. That was The Rock's first match.
Oh, I forgot about that. Yeah, since
about a year. Yeah, right?
Yeah, since the Goldberg match.
Or Hogan came out after him and Hogan.
Wait. So this was 04?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry. You're right. Wait. Rock's first match since. So, okay. You know what I think it was? I think it was in 2003. We could easily look it up. But The Rock in 03, he had a match with Hogan. I know, not the Mania 18 match. They had a rematch in Montreal, No Way Out. Rock won that. They had the Mania match with him and Stone Cold, beat him. And then he lost to Goldberg at Backlash. And then I think that might have been it for – that was it for Hollywood Rock. And then he came back as a babyface with Mick the following year. I'm pretty sure that was the last match that he had prior to this handicap tag match.
What else we got here? Torrie Wilson and Sable defeated Miss Jackie and Stacy Keibler. Okay. Evening gown, women's tag match. Yeah, we come a long way with the women, Graham. We come a long way 20 years later. Yeah.
Evening gown match, dude, is – awful.
Yeah, that's terrible. Chavo Guerrero defeated Akio, Billy Kidman, Funaki, Jamie Noble, Nunzio, Rey Mysterio, Shannon Moore, Tajiri, and Ultimo Dragon in the Cruiserweight Open for the Cruiserweight title. All right. Then we had Goldberg defeated Brock. Stone Cold was the referee. Too Cool defeated the world's greatest tag team, the Basham Brothers, and the APA in a fatal four-way for the tag team titles. Victoria defeated Molly Holly in a hair versus title match for the women's championship. Eddie Guerrero defeated Kurt Angle for the world championship. Undertaker defeated Kane. And then Benoit defeated Triple H and Shawn Michaels for the world heavyweight championship in the main event. That's WrestleMania 20. It's amazing how I live in New York, and I've never been to any WrestleMania in New York.
Yeah, so that would have been I mean, that was the last one, right? Because I know they went 29 and 35 or
whatever. Well, I would say like WrestleMania, obviously 1, 10, 20, the arena shows. I never went to any WrestleMania.
Yeah, but
obviously we did 29 in Jersey. We did 35 in Jersey. So
they would say that was in New York. It's not fucking New York. Literally, it's not New Jersey, but. Whatever. Yeah.
I don't count that. Yeah. You're in MetLife. You're in Jersey. I mean, not one of my favorite manias. Would I go back? Obviously, the triple threat match would be the match I would go back to watch.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, triple threat matches, bro. There's been a plethora of them. And I think this one stands because obviously the story was obviously Hunter was champion. Benoit wins the Rumble. And then Hunter and Shawn had the little rivalry for quite some time, and I'm trying to remember off top, how did Shawn get inserted into the triple threat match when it was supposed to be Benoit and Hunter by themselves? But obviously, storyline wise, it makes for a better match. We never had a Triple H Shawn Michaels match one-on-one at a WrestleMania, which is fucking crazy to even think about. And they pulled it off in, well, how long? 25 minutes they pulled off that match. So I know for X reasons why people don't mention that match, and respectfully, but if you're just going by the pure wrestling and just the moment, that's got to be the greatest triple threat match of all time.
I would say if you're looking for a soundbite here, I'll tell you the triple threat of triple threat matches, in my opinion. I think the three greatest triple threat matches of all time are this one, in no particular order, are this one. I think it's Vengeance 02 or 03. It was Rock, Kurt, and Taker. Pretty sure it's Vengeance 02. It was right before SummerSlam 02. And the Brock
Cena. Can I guess?
Yeah.
The last one? I think I heard you. You said two names.
Yeah.
is it going to be Brock, Cena, and Seth Rollins?
Yeah, from the Rumble, yeah.
Okay, all right. Wow.
I guess actually two of those happened 2 years apart, 02 and 04, in my opinion anyway. There's probably other ones that are amazing. I'm just saying, like, we've had this discussion before, but I feel like people, when they talk about the greatest triple threat matches of all time, the triple threats of triple threats, I would say, are those three right there. The greatest. And there's been other ones. Like, you can also say, maybe as an honorable mention, Brian Batista Orton from Mania 30, 10 years after this one.
Okay.
I don't know. I don't think it's a better match than those three. These three are better matches. And WWE, anyway, I'm sure there's been others in other companies, but those are the three that come to mind as the best triple threat matches in WWE history.
Nice. So we had Mercedes Moné debut on AEW, you know, big business, Boston, you know, was the site, obviously. So weird seeing her. You know, I'm a big Sasha Banks fan.
Of course.
No matter the promotion, because I know she'll go back and do it, Tom. She even said it on
the
podcast.
She said that, yeah.
She said it, like, hey, you know, I'm going back. Like, just like, even at that moment, like, if you're AEW fans and Tony Khan and this is your new assignee, and they're really telling you, yeah, this is like a pit stop for me. This is like LeBron in Miami for me.
Sure.
Because I'm going back to Cleveland.
Yeah.
In some point in time.
Are we talking like the July 2010, the decision? Is that what we're talking here?
No. The second one in 2014.
Oh,
he left,
okay,
Cleveland, did Miami 4 years, and then he went back to the Cavaliers. Gotcha. So this is like Sasha's Miami run. She might be there really 2, 3, 4 years, then she'll go back to Cleveland. She'll go back home.
Gotcha.
But my thing is, off rip, did that, should fans be like, oh, come on, like, you're brand new, you haven't stepped foot in the ring already, and talk about going back, or how does Tony Khan feel about hearing that already?
Yeah, I just thought, so I think in the full interview, I don't know where it aired, because I think someone had said, and I didn't watch the full thing, someone said when you watch the interview on wherever it aired, it that line is not in there. But on Twitter, like, I don't know if the guy released like the unedited cut, like then they ended up airing the full thing. So I don't know if that was an accident. She didn't say it by accident. The fact that he put it in there, I feel like she might have said it. And then she asked her, I'm just assuming here, I don't know. And then she asked him, like, hey, can you take that out? Like, I'm about to debut for AEW, or basically along those lines. I probably shouldn't be saying that. And then he put it on Twitter anyway. I don't know about on purpose or just by accident. I'm not exactly sure, because why else would you remove that line? I mean, you probably should have, though. Is she wrong? No, dude, she's not wrong. She'll be back. Of course. You know that. I know that. We all know that. Should you be saying that before you go to AEW? No, because then it means that this is definitely temporary. Is it temporary? Yeah. But you don't want to say the quiet part out loud. Let's put it that way.
Exactly.
You know, even though she definitely will be back at some point, I think it's great. I mean, if she went back to WWE, the big thing, I've said this, and I won't go on a great tangent about this. The big thing with her going back now, the only reason why I super would have been into it was because the Bayley thing just would have made 100% sense. I mean, she needs backup right now. She needs friends. Her and against Damage Control, them two against Damage Control would have been perfect. But beyond that, honestly, it's not like I don't really care the company either. I grew up a WWE fan, but AEW is amazing too. If Sasha goes back now, she helps up Bayley. Okay, cool. But then what? Like, I feel like a lot of the women, even now, I know they just brought up Tiffany and Jade's there now. There's still a lot of women on those brands that she's already worked with. I don't really want to see Sasha and Becky again anytime soon. Sasha versus Bayley, or God forbid, Sasha versus Charlotte again anytime soon. That would definitely happen if she were to come back soon. If she goes to AEW for 2-3 years and comes back in even a few more years from now, by that point, she will have been gone for 5 years. That's a long time. 2 years, I don't think is that big. I know Naomi just came back, but, you know, Naomi's great. Sasha's an objectively bigger star. She has a lot of opponents she's never faced before in AEW. Let her have her little run there, have success, and not just be there just to be there and collect a paycheck, but make a difference, and then come back to WWE a bigger star like Drew, like Cody, like all these other guys. I think it's inevitable. So I like the fact that she's taking a detour to AEW. I think she'll have a very good run there.
Yeah, I think she'll have a great run. Again, when it comes to AEW, it's not just a debut and, oh, we got this person defected from the Federation or the E, and it's like, all right, we got them there, man or woman. Now it's like, what do you do with them? That's always been the magic question.
But yeah, I think, 1,000%, yeah.
You know, just seeing her being there, she looks happy. She looks satisfied. I think she really wants to go in there and do her thing and uplift other women wrestlers in there, put on some hella good matches and become champion. I think that's the goal. And then in a year's time, maybe two, I don't know the contract that she has. So she might, I think at least 2 years she's going to be there, 3 years, the maybe. And then when that time comes, you're talking about what, 2027, 2028, we're going to see Sasha Banks back in there. Becky's going to be older, Bayley, Charlotte. So it's like, just appreciate that time now. Mm-hmm. Is all I'm saying, because it's just a matter of time when it's like, oh man, Charlotte's not going to be there all the time, or Becky, or Bayley, or Bianca's going to be the new one, and Rhea and Jade. That's like the next stepping stone, you know, past Bayley, Becky, and Charlotte in the four horsewomen era, and stuff like that. So, you know, good for her. She looks happy. I'm still getting used to the theme song, you know, CEO. I'm like, okay, all right, I'm getting used to it. So, we'll see. But bottom line is she looks happy.
Yeah, no, I think I was there last night for the show. It came off great. Got a massive reaction.
I did see that. You were there, buddy. How was the crowd when the thing debuted?
I mean, even as soon as you heard the music, I mean, no one knew the music, as we've never heard. That's not the music that she used in Japan when she was doing her brief stardom run last year. It's different music entirely. I don't know if AEW made it or she just had another new theme made. I'm not sure. I don't really have a preference. I don't really care about either theme. The WWE song was so like synonymous with her that it's weird to hear her come out to anything else, obviously. But it's a different chapter of her career because she's Mercedes Moné, not Sasha Banks, the boss. She's still the boss, but CEO thing, whatever. It was cool. Listen, she came off. I've never been. I'm not the opposite of you, but I've never been like a diehard Sasha fan. I think she's great. I think she's probably one of, if not the best women's wrestler of all time. Am I personally a big fan of her? Not really, but you know, it was still a great moment. They treated her like a megastar out there. It was literally not the exact same thing, but it was the closest thing this company's had to the CM Punk last dance moment, or first dance, sorry. Last dance is Michael Jordan. First dance, CM Punk moment 3 years ago in Chicago, where they just started the show, had her come out. Not a very memorable promo, but I don't really argue that it would needed to be. I mean, it's her first appearance. Who gives a shit? They were just happy to see her. And then she popped up again at the end. So it was great. I mean, the rest of the show was awesome too, but it came off great, and it came off like she was a megastar. And that's coming off the arrivals of Ospreay and Okada too. So they got a ride. They're riding a wave of momentum right now. And, you know, I'm not really maybe we'll get into it, but you know, the whole, will she be a game changer shit? No, I mean, no, at this point, no one for that company will be a game changer. Can't she have a positive impact? Yes. Hiring her is not a bad thing. Sure. She's making a lot of money for less dates than she was doing in WWE. And there's a lot of women she can work with. Like I said, and I think she's a big name. Why would you not, if she's willing to come in, why would you not want her on your roster? So, but yeah, it was great to see live though. It came off really well.
So a few other things before I let you go. SummerSlam will be in Cleveland at the Cleveland Browns Stadium.
First time since 96, someone said.
Yeah. That's when Shawn
faced Vader, right?
In the main event for the title. Yeah. And then Paul Bearer turned on Undertaker in the Mankind match.
Boiler Room Brawl, or was that a different one? I don't know if that was
the bullet. Yeah, that was bullet. Wow. Come on. Look at that.
I know my shit. I don't remember anything else from that show, but I remember that.
Boiler Room Brawl. That's where Paul Bearer turned on Taker. I know Steve Austin was on that card, but I
don't think he was.
He was free for all.
Free for all with Yokozuna, wasn't he? Because he just won King of the Ring and then he wasn't. That was the whole, like, you know, we've talked about it 1,000 times, the whole Austin 316 thing. Then he wasn't even on the show. He was on the fucking pre-show.
Wow. Hold on. Yeah. Look at Graham. I love it. Yoko and Stone Cold in the free for all. Again, guys, we're going back to the last time SummerSlam was in Cleveland, the great city. The great summer city of Cleveland, Graham.
Yeah. No Bret Hart on that show either, but he was still gone after Mania that year. But
Owen Hart against Savio Vega, the Smoking Guns against the New Rockers, the Godwins, and the Body Donners, Psycho Sid against the British Bulldog, Goldust against Mark Merrow, Jerry Lawler against Jake the Snake Roberts, Mankind, Undertaker, and Shawn. And Vader, wow, what a SummerSlam that was.
I was going to say, aside from those last two matches, that sounds like one of the most mid-manias or mid-SummerSlams I've ever heard of.
That is a true new generation type SummerSlam. Mm-hmm. This is August, so Razor is gone, Diesel is gone.
Hart wasn't there. I mean, he was there.
Was coming back soon, so
Stone Cold.
The beginning of the Monday Night War. NWO's rolling Nitro. So, yeah, this is not a very impressive SummerSlam.
No, that sounds like a fucking Raw from that period. That's a yikes.
This is like a Monday Night Raw.
Yeah, that was pre Triple H, but yeah, no, it's kind of right in the middle there, right before Rock too. Rock debuted at Survivor Series, so that was kind of before they had that influx of star power. About a year later, actually.
Yeah, pre Triple H, pre Rock, pre
real Stone Cold. I mean, Stone Cold,
real Stone Cold.
You know,
Kane, like all of these guys ain't come in until like a year and a half later, which is and I think the biggest point you said. Stone Cold does the King of the Ring speech in June, and you're thinking, all right, he's going to be on this path, and like,
yeah,
he's on a fucking free-for-all against Yoko, like, okay, but everybody got a shirt on in the crowd, but he's not even on the main card for SummerSlam.
It's not the same thing. I'm not going to say that it is, but that's like the massive reactions that LA Knight was getting. He's still very popular, but about a year ago, like in the spring, Money in the Bank, he was one of the most over guys in the entire show in London. And then he was on SummerSlam. He won the Battle Royal, thankfully, but it's kind of the same thing where they're so over and they're, how are they not even on the card? Like, that just doesn't make any sense. I think people have this incorrect narrative of Stone Cold becoming this massive star as soon as he cut that promo, and he didn't. It took some time. It wasn't really until the Bret Hart feud that he kind of rose up in the ranks a little bit and didn't become the Stone Cold that we eventually knew. I mean, it was not years, but a couple months at least. I mean, the fact that he wasn't on the main card for SummerSlam and he was facing a fucking broken down Yokozuna was not exactly an indication that he was on the rise until the Bret Hart. Maybe they were just keeping him busy, I imagine. But still, they could have surely come up with something better than the Godwins on the SummerSlam main card, you know?
The Godwins, the Body Donners, the New Rockers made the main card and not Stone Cold Steve Austin. That's, that was a time.
He beat Jake the Snake in the finals of the King of the Ring. Jake made the card over Austin, who won the tournament. Like that, I mean, we see that shit today, but it's like, it just doesn't make any sense. Like, why would he be on the card against Jerry Lawler and not Stone Cold? It's just weird.
Exactly.
It all worked.
Two more things. You tell me if this makes sense. We're going to have Sami Zayn against Gunther for the Intercontinental Championship at WrestleMania. Most thought it was going to be Chad Gable. They had the gauntlet match, and they're the final two, Gable and Sami Zayn, and now you get Sami and Gunther. Obviously, we know what the original plan was supposed to be Brock and Gunther. Mm-hmm. That's not happening. There is speculation that Brock could be let back in. We don't know, but right now you got Sami, you get Gunther, Intercontinental Championship. Do you feel that Sami Zayn is going to take down Gunther, or do you feel like this is just like a placeholder for now? Or do you feel like, because what I think is, if you look at the replay, Chad Gable's shoulders were not really on the map.
Mm-hmm.
Do they play into a story where he wasn't really beat, and now you insert him into like a triple threat match?
You could. I mean, I don't think they will, but I mean, at the same time, I tend to lean towards like realistically what they would do, like with the Cody Roman thing. I didn't think they would have Cody. I didn't think they would pivot back to Cody. I told you that. I mean, we all figured, a lot of us figured that. I didn't think they would pivot. They don't really tend to pivot, but they did.
Yeah.
Could they pivot here? Sure. But the reactions to Chad are not what they have been to Cody. So I don't think they really care all that much. Listen, I'm not going to sit here and tell you that Sammy's a bad opponent for Gunther. The match is going to be great. It gets Sammy on the card. The guy headlined last year. There's no way he can't be on the card. Could you have found him another match? Yes. My issue here was with Chad, it was that it's tough, man, because I did want Chad to win. I really was hoping he would win. I was disappointed he didn't, but I can't stand that shocked, because they did that video package for him on Monday. He cut a promo backstage about it last week, but before like a week or two ago when he beat Ivar on Raw, Chad really has not been on Raw in months, dude. They have done nothing to really build him back up as a legitimate challenger to Gunther, which should have told me and you and everybody that they weren't going with him at Mania. Should they have anyway? I think so. But I don't. With the Brock being the original opponent, like you said, Chad was never going to go to WrestleMania anyway. With Brock being gone, that opened up an opportunity. Oh, like what would have happened if Brock was on the show? What would they have done with Chad or Sami Zayn, for example? I don't know. But they gave that spot to Sami, and that's fine. I agree with what you said earlier. I would make this a placeholder. I would not have Sami win. Would I be mad if Sami won? No. I mean, Sami winning, he's a great underdog. It's a cool story, whatever. Gives him his big moment, excuse me, that he's been looking for. But I would have Gunther retain. I would not have him hold the belt for another year, but I would have him lose it to Gable at some point between now and SummerSlam. And then I still think Gable should be the guy to beat Gunther. I would have Gunther beat Sami. I really don't think Sami benefits all that much from beating Gunther as a guy that's already been the Continental Champion three times.
And it would be amazing that last WrestleMania, Sami was a part of the tag match where he beat the longest reigning tag team champions.
True.
And a year later, he could beat the longest reigning Intercontinental Champion. Yep. Like, I mean, it could happen, but I'm thinking like, because I kept seeing that some fans are like, I know the outcome already.
Mm-hmm.
They feel Gunther's going to beat Sami Zayn.
I feel like Sami Zayn could win. So that's, I think it's unpredictable personally.
Because if it was Chad Gable, and now you're like, oh shit, now this can go 50-50. Like, yeah. I don't know which way it would go, but now everybody thinks he's going to beat Sami Zayn.
Yeah. I think the thing with Gable though is if it was Brock, I think I don't want Brock to beat Gunther. If Brock didn't cancel or whatever, I don't think he should have beaten Gunther anyway. I just think that would have been fucking stupid. Why would you put a mid-card belt on Brock of all people, who is not even around? He doesn't give a shit about the title. That would be, what a waste to have Gunther lose his first match in years to Brock. Mm-hmm. Brock doesn't need that. So if the idea is that Gunther is retaining at Mania, they always had their mind set on that and they want to stick with that. It didn't even matter who the opponent was. Then Sammy's the better fit, because I think Gable going in there and losing would be so stupid. Sammy winning makes sense. Sammy losing makes sense, because he's talking about like, oh, I can't win when it matters most. He still has unfinished business with Drew McIntyre. So say a big win for Sammy over Drew, where him winning the World Heavyweight Championship, have him lose to Gunther, come back to this match in a year or so when Gunther's the world champion, have him beat Gunther then. That's what I would do. I just think Gable going to Mania and losing again would be stupid. At that point, what's the point? So I think if he faces Gunther again, he's got to beat him. And if Sammy wins at Mania, that's just, I wouldn't have done that, but whatever. He could make history 2 years in a row, like you said, which is great. But with Chad Gable, the guy's got to beat Gunther. I feel like they got to go back to that story. I don't know if they, excuse me, I'm losing my voice here. I don't know if Gable's going to be able to finish his story the same way Cody is, but that's what I would do personally.
I would say insert Chad Gable into the triple threat. It's clear his shoulders were not on the mat. They do have a legit story. I'm not sure if that was on purpose, the way they showed it, like
true.
And his, yeah, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. They could be something, but if they don't go the route, I say Gunther beats Sami Zayn. If Sami wins, Sami wins. I just feel like if you're going to have the longest reigning Intercontinental Champion drop the belt, drop it to someone who's never been champion.
I agree.
Like, holy shit. Like, wow. Like, yes. like a true underdog,
exactly,
kind of,
yeah,
vibe. And Sami's been in Bloodline. He's been a tag team champion. Like, you've been around the block. Give Chad Gable a fucking shot here, you know? But listen, we'll see what happens, right?
Listen, you're speaking to the choir. You're preaching to the choir. I completely agree. I don't think... It's not like him losing, like I said, to Brock. Of him losing to Brock would just benefits nobody. Benefits nobody.
Yeah.
But if it's Gable, he benefits a lot. So I think that's what I would do. Like Becky, same thing. Becky benefiting, beating Rhea for the belt, who's been champion for a year. Great moment. Becky hasn't been champion in a while. I think Liv would benefit more. Liv's been champion, but her reign was pretty forgettable and it wasn't very long. I think Liv makes more sense. Liv and Chad, to me, are on the same level right now, where I want to see both of them finish their stories. I just don't like the idea. It's all about the stories. You know, the matches can be great. Becky's great. Sammy's great. But they get me invested in these stories, like the Cody thing, which we've already talked about, but Liv and Chad too. How do you not finish that? Like, how do you have them talk about, I want revenge, and then they never get revenge? Like, what a fucking loser. How can I take them seriously after that? So that's why I want them both to win. And maybe not at Mania, maybe in Paris at Backlash, but at some point, just won't come at Mania. We know that.
Mm-hmm. My last question. We seen your guy Cody on SmackDown last week. Smack the Rock in the promo. Seth being adamant about, you know, we accept your challenge. Cody looking at him like, yo, what the fuck, dude? Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, you know, but we are going to get the tag match night one, main event, WrestleMania. What did you feel about their rebuttal, their retaliation, smacking the Rock and making this more believable than what it is? But like, now you're getting a more fiery kind of mode from Cody. Because I think for me, that's the part that annoys me with Cody. Mm-hmm. Is that when The Rock says something or Roman says something, he always looks like, or even Seth, Cody's always like trying to get like he's like bro, like look a little soft. Like, come on, bro, like say something, go back at him, back The Rock. And then he's semi crying on Raw, which it was there for a little bit. Then he stopped. Then I'm like, is he really crying or not? We don't know. But now you tell a story about, I want to give the title to my mom. And this, and it was a good sit down on Raw, but all of that, what did you feel from Friday and the sit down with Michael Cole on Monday for Cody Rhodes?
Yeah, I liked what we got in both segments. I think both Rollins and Rhodes need to show more fire, and we got that on both shows. I think you're completely right that you don't want to make these guys go out there, Rock and Roman, just shitting on them in various promos. And then Rollins specifically before Friday. I mean, he talked to Rock. He didn't really talk to Roman. But like Roman's calling him the loser bracket champion. You dress like a clown. Not really wrong things to say. The cross-dresser thing was kind of stupid and unnecessary. But the other stuff I get. And then he kind of gave it back to him by calling him in the midlife crisis thing. That was pretty funny to Rock.
Yeah.
You got to fire back and prove that you're on their level and not that you're just a bitch willing to take the, you know, these promos, this shit talking, and then not do anything about it. So he slaps Rock, gives him his comeuppance to an extent. I like that. I love the promo on Raw from Cody. One of my bigger, not a criticism. It is a criticism, but it's not like an issue. The focus has been all on the tag team stuff. Not enough on Roman and Cody for the rematch. Regardless of who you think should win, they need the focus back on the title match. Because that's what this is all about. It's not about the Bloodline or Rhodes and Rollins. It's about Rhodes and Roman. It's about their match, the rematch, one of the biggest rematches in WrestleMania history. And whatever the outcome is there. But you need to put the focus back on that title in that match so the title isn't overshadowed. They did that on Raw this week with the Cole interview. Maybe that was always the intent to wait until this point to do that. Now that the tag team match has been made official, I don't know. But I thought that was great. I think Cody is definitely genuine when he starts getting emotional and shit, because he's done this before. He's just an emotional guy, apparently.
Yeah.
But, you know, getting intense also is key. And I know he has that in him, because we've seen that in WWE before from him. So, no, I'm loving the Cody promos. I thought we got on SmackDown was great. Rock's back on SmackDown this week. There's a rumor we might be getting a Rock concert in Nashville, which should be worth watching. I know you'd be a big fan of that, as am I, but I'm looking forward
to it.
That's right. Yeah.
Oh yeah, so that's tomorrow SmackDown. The Rock comes back, still, you know, threading through the story up to WrestleMania. I think that there was a rumor real quick that you take it for a grain of salt, that he may not be available. I think from May to August for a movie, so that counts him out of SummerSlam for now. Money in the Bank, whatever else they got going on from that time frame. So I mean, we'll see. If that remains true, we mentioned SummerSlam is going to be in Cleveland, like the first, like week of, like August 3rd. Like, bro, why are we doing this show fucking early August 3rd? Like, what happened to August 28th and August 20th? Like, August 3rd, really?
So
is that what we're doing?
They did it that weekend last year. It was on August 5th last year, and it was early. I mean, yeah, it was actually even earlier than that 2 years ago. It was July 30th. I'm like, what the fuck are we doing it in July for? Like, Great American back? Like, what are we doing here?
Yeah,
in August that year. So the reason they did it that year, that early, was because they had a big pay-per-view in September, Clash of the Castle. The reason they're doing it this year so early, I don't know about last year, but this year I know they're doing it early, because that Berlin pay-per-view, that Germany pay-per-view, is August 31st, I think. So they
want
a bit of a break in between the two shows, like a four-week break, I'm sorry. And that's why we're getting it on August 3rd. And then the Germany show a couple weeks later. That's why I think they're doing that.
Got it. I don't want to take up much of your time. You sound pretty choked up the last couple of
minutes. Yeah, the dynamite thing. I wasn't like screaming my head off, but I'm still recovering.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
I mean, Was it crowded?
It was crowded. I mean, it was a pretty – listen, AEW doesn't do a lot of people for their shows. Most weeks, just to be completely honest, their attendance isn't great. They packed that building, though. I saw 9,000 for Meltzer. I know it was 7,000 before that. It looked pretty full. I mean, Mercedes, we'll see what impact she has long term. I don't really pay attention to that stuff, because I don't really think anyone's going to make a big difference as far as the attendance and the ratings. That shit's not going to change for them. But as far as for one night for her, they made it a big deal, and they packed a lot of people in that building, and it was a great atmosphere. So, there was a lot of people there last night in Boston.